New Jersey experiences, on average, 1,100 wildfires each year, burning 5,000 acres. To spot these fires, the state uses a century-old system, 21 fire towers, where fire observers spend 8 hours a day watching for smoke. From WHYY's climate desk, Susan Phillips takes us to the Pinelands, one of the most fire-prone areas of the country.
We're at the Medford Fire Tower at the edge of the Wharton State Forest in the Pine Barrens of South Jersey. And we're going to climb up the tower today and check out and see what one of those observers does for his job. So let's take a look.
Almost there.
After climbing the metal staircase 100 feet high, I reach a trap door.
And then just stand here and we'll close this door so we can all spread out.
Nice office. So. Beautiful view.
Yeah, it's awesome. So right now you're viewing southwestern Burlington County.
Brian Gerber Jr. is a forest fire observer for the New Jersey Forest Fire Service. He sits up here 8 hours a day, all alone, looking for smoke. For Gerber, it runs in the family. His father works in the Forest Service, and he grew up across the street from this fire tower.
That little hill over there would be Apple Pie Hill. So the Mullica River runs this way and...
How far can we see? Like, how many miles is that?
You could probably see close to 20 miles, but the human eye, we like to say a good 10 miles radius in the tower on a perfectly clear day.
And I just realized I can see the city. I can see Philadelphia skyline here.
Yep.
From Gerber's perch 100 feet in the air, turkey vultures buzz by the windows that line all four sides. Gazing down, the tops of the tallest pitch pines and oak trees are about 30 feet below. Inside, it's pretty cramped, just 7 by 7 feet. But he managed to lug a comfortable leather chair, an air conditioner, and a microwave up 150 exposed metal stairs. Each morning, one of the first things Gerber does is check the weather with headquarters.
You can go ahead and send it, Cedar Bridge.
Relative humidity, temperature, precipitation, and wind are four key weather factors that determine forest fire risk.
Our leaf litter is very dry, so if someone might accidentally throw a cigarette out their window, it could start a fire on a very dry day.
Looking down from the top of the tower, you can see the roofs of suburban homes that sit right next to this forest.
The most important part is to protect property and people. A lot of these homes are in the wildland-urban interface.
The wildland-urban interface is where development meets forests. And it's growing across the U.S., putting more people at risk of having to flee their homes. These fire towers have given people advanced warning for more than a century, using tools that date back to the founding of the state's Forest Fire Service in 1906.
Wind direction, northwest.
Gerber's tower office is dominated by a large circular wooden table that is about 4 feet in diameter. Glued on top of the table is a detailed map of the 20-mile radius that can be seen from the tower, and around the circular map are 360-degree compass readings. This is called an alidade, the earliest of which was likely invented in the 4th century. A rifle scope is attached to spot the exact degree of the smoke. The entire contraption is called an Osborne firefinder, invented back in 1911.
So if you saw a smoke, I would use this tool right here to pinpoint it, and I would get a degree reading out of 360 degrees of a circle, and I would call another fire tower and see if they could see the smoke and get their degree reading, and I'd use my map, and we would cross it out like triangulation.
From the ceiling, he unlatches a wooden board. Glued to it is a map of the entire state plotted with all 21 fire towers.
So I would use the crosshairs in the scope to pinpoint where the smoke is. And then say that I was crossing a smoke with Apple Pie Fire Tower. We could pinpoint exactly where it is, where the X marks the spot of where the fire is.
It's very old school, but it's very cool.
About half of all forest fires are detected by observers like Gerber. The other half are called into 911. So I asked him, with all the new technology, including drones and AI, why does the Forest Service stick with the low tech?
You can use all the high tech stuff, but it could be false readings. Like you could be going to 100 barbecue pits in someone's backyard. We're supposed to be up here reading the smoke, and we should be watching the smoke. If it's growing and it's got color, it could be a forest fire. But if it's a white little puff, we'll monitor it all day. But we're not just going to send a fire warden to a bunch of barbecues. We want it to actually be a fire.
As Gerber said, he's trained to read smoke. He says in the Pine Barrens, a forest fire starts out as a dense column of gray smoke and may become gray and white.
It's not wispy like a barbecue pit. A forest fire always continues to grow and the column expands.
Gerber says if he sees smaller columns of smoke all lined up in a row along a road, it's likely a driver whose car is backfiring, lighting up the brush at equal intervals. He's spotted similar fires caused by freight trains along railroad tracks. Whatever it is, he says, 99% of the state's forest fires are caused by humans.
So it could be someone lighting fireworks in their backyard, like 4th of July. It could be someone mowing their lawn and the leaves underneath their mower catch on fire.
All of this, he says, still needs human eyes and experience to send out the proper warning. And for Gerber, he says he couldn't have a better job.
I just love the view. It changes every morning you come up here. It's always such a gorgeous view. You can see the Pine Barrens this way. And on a crystal clear day, you could see smoke almost anywhere in the state and in our division.
From 100 feet above the Wharton State Forest, I'm Susan Phillips, WHYY News.